We are in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we're going to read verses 10 and 11 for our text verse. We're going to finish up what we were doing last week. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, we have to hear your word, to sing praises, and just to take this opportunity to worship you and to consider just how wonderful you are and the incredible things you do for us. Lord, just ask that you'll help us apply your word this morning, that we may be better servants. And if there be one here that's never come to know you as their Savior, Lord, that they'll do that before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we just thank you again for all that you've done for us. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, I used this picture of the armor of God, thinking that I would get to the verse that I used, and I didn't get to it, but today we will get to that. The strength we need to walk worthy in the Lord, and we have been looking at the word strength in Scripture, started last week. The word strength occurs over 230 times, and I've selected 12. We've already looked at 6. But we're looking at 12, the strength that we need to walk worthy in the Lord. And I really like our text last week, and I just quickly touch on it. Verse 11, "Strengthen with his might according to his glorious power." The power that God has is glorious, and it could be exemplified through us. "Strengthen us so that," verse 10, right? "With his strength, with his glorious power, we can walk worthy of the Lord." We can walk pleasing to the Lord. We can bear fruit in every good work to the Lord and increase in knowledge of the Lord. So as we consider the strength that we need to walk worthy in the Lord this morning, last week we looked at the first six. They pretty much stand alone. I'm not going to review. This morning we're going to look at the last six that we're going to look at. But starting on number 7, it's actually Isaiah 40, verse 31. But last week, the sixth one I used was also in chapter 40, and the two verses do go hand in hand. Verse 40, verse 29, I use to show God's strength is a reviving strength. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increased their strength. When we don't have the ability, God does. That's the point. He gives power to us that are weary, that can't do it anymore. And then in verse 30, it shows us the way in which he renews his strength. That's the seventh thing we're going to look at. God's strength is renewed strength, and it will renew us, it will revive us. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about patience and how as humans, we're good at it, right? That's one of the things that we aren't very good at is patience, is waiting. I don't like to just sit still and do nothing. The waiting, I need to be up doing something. I need to work on that. Being patient. They that are patient is what it's talking about. Those that wait upon the Lord, there is a reward. There is a benefit when instead of trying to fix it ourselves, okay, Lord, you're taking too long, I'm going to do it. There is a benefit to waiting upon the Lord. When we try to do it ourselves, verse 29 of chapter 40 comes to play. We're going to faint. We're going to be weary. If we would just be patient, wait on the Lord, He will renew our strength. He will revive us and make us as if our strength is new and has never left us. And then it's interesting, there are three ways, it gives three examples as to what this renewed strength looks like. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We actually have some eagles that nest behind our house, and I don't see them soaring as they do sometimes. Where I grew up in California, down in the San Joaquin Valley, hawks, never saw eagles, but hawks would just soar and just keep going higher and higher, and you would never see them exercise any effort, flapping their wings. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, with little effort to stay up in the air. Now, if I was to fly, it would take effort, right? I don't think, right? I can't flap my wings hard enough. Some things we do, it takes a lot of effort. But eagles and those kinds of birds, it takes very little effort once they get soaring. And that's the example. When we wait, when we're patient upon the Lord, our strength, we don't use it all up in the effort of life. They shall run and not be weary. Some people like to run long distances. I remember Brother Hayes, he liked to run. He did some marathons, and a couple of times I went running with him. And he said, "You set the pace." And so I'd run and would run a couple of miles, and he was just getting started, right? And he wasn't tired, and he was older than I was. Run and not be weary. Those who have exercised and prepared themselves for that kind of running, that kind of race, the effort is different in their strength. That's what it's like to wait upon the Lord. That's the second one. And the third one is they shall walk. I like to walk. I'm not much of a long distance runner, but I can walk a long ways. Where's Wyatt? Can I walk a long ways? Yeah. So yesterday we went to the county fair, and Jeffrey got hot and Jordan got tired, and towards the end of the day we were comparing steps. We all have the things that track our steps on our phones, and Jeffrey said, "Aren't you tired?" But I walk every day. I walk an hour, 2 hours, sometimes longer every day. I try to. Don't do it every day, most days. And so I'm used to walking. It was a little warm yesterday, but I really wasn't tired. And so these three examples of being able to do lots of things without exerting a lot of effort, that's what it is like when we wait upon the Lord. Our strength is renewed. It's not zapped out of us. When we tap into the strength and the power that our Lord has in reserve, just waiting for us. The seventh thing is God's strength. I'm on number eight. The eighth thing is God's strength is a calming strength. Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness." Isaiah 40 talks about being weary, doing so much that we get weary in effort, and that if we'll wait on the Lord, that He will renew our strength. And then in chapter 40, it talks about not being dismayed, not being overwhelmed with the task before us. Sometimes we get dismayed because we work too hard and not very with a lot of efficiency. But the second thing that it talks about in Isaiah, and especially 41:10, is that we can look at the job and we can become weary. We can be overwhelmed. We can be dismayed that the task is too large. And the Lord will give us the strength to overcome that. And I really like it. It says, fear not. Don't be afraid of things that are before you. I am with thee. We can overcome all those things. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help. I will uphold thy right hand in righteousness when we are doing the right thing. Too often we get overwhelmed in doing good, in being obedient for the Lord, and we give up. But the Lord will help. He is our strength. In Romans, the fourth chapter, the ninth one I want us to talk about, God's strength is an unwavering strength. In Romans 4, verse 20, it says, he, and it's talking about the example of Abraham, it says, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief or lack of faith. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God's strength is a unwavering strength. It can cause us to have faith that isn't unbelief. There was a man that came to God, to Jesus, and he said, help my son. And Jesus asked him, I will. He said, do you believe? And the man says, yes, help my unbelief. That's our struggle sometimes. Being strong in the faith, tapping into the strength that God gives us to be able to have faith. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it talks about people of faith. It talks about verse 5, Enoch. And then what's the next one? I'm sorry, verse 4 is Abel. Verse 5 is Enoch. And verse 7 is Noah. And it talks about these people of faith. And what's interesting, when you look at the faith they had, Abel did an offering. He worshiped God. And he had this strong faith in the Lord. And in verse 5, we see Enoch, and it says literally, he walked with God. He had such a strong faith in God that as he walked with God, he got so close because of his strength of faith that he was closer to God than God took him. He was not. And then the last one was Noah. By faith, it didn't rain in Noah's time. The water, it says, came from the fountains. It came from under the ground. It watered everything. And Noah said, God told me it's going to rain. And he was to build this boat. And he worked all this time to build this boat. He had faith that what God told him was going to happen. And you could imagine the mocking that people did to mock him because of his faith. And that's what it says of Abraham. He staggered not at God's promise. Too often we stagger. Our faith gets weak. Lord, are you really there? Lord, are you really going to help? Lord, where are you? I think we often ask those questions. And what's interesting, it says here, when Abraham was strong in faith, what did it do? Giving glory to God. It showed when we are willing to continue to be faithful and obedient to God, God gets the glory out of our life. It's interesting in this chapter 11, Moses is mentioned, if I counted it right, Moses is mentioned 6 times. Abraham is also mentioned 6. These two men, their great faith in what they did in obedience to God, they did not stagger. And it says of Moses, the riches of Christ were greater to him of value than the riches of Egypt. What is more important to us? Not staggering at the faith, the things that God has promised us, that we continue strong in the faith. And then the 10th thing that I want us to consider this morning is God's strength is a innermost strength. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Sometimes we talk about strength and us getting weary physically. And we can be weary physically. We can get tired doing work, doing things. It's easy to get tired. But it's also easy to get spiritual weary. Our inner man, our soul get tired. Sometimes we do things that aren't necessarily physically taxing, but they're emotionally taxing, spiritually taxing, and that can make us physically tired because we're spiritually and emotionally taxed. And it talks here about the inner man. We need our spirit, that the Holy Spirit strengthens. That's what it's talking about there, that the Holy Spirit strengthening our inner spirit. Psalms says it like this, Psalms 138, verse 3, "In the day when I cried, that thou answerest me, and strengthenest thou me with strength in my soul." We are a triune being. We have the physical outside. We have our soul, our mind, our intellect. We can be tired of thinking about stuff and worrying about stuff. And then there's the spiritual man. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And it's in the soul, the mind, that the flesh and the spirit tries to win control. And boy, we need to be strong in the spirit so we can have the faith of Abraham and continue to be faithful in the Lord. The 11th thing that I want to talk about is God's strength is a riveting strength. This verse is probably one of the most used verses in dealing with strength. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, obviously, we're talking about things of faith, things that we need to be doing. Can I lift something that my physical ability can't do? That's not what it's talking about here. God can't cause me to lift 500 pounds. But in a spiritual sense, things that I necessarily can't do, the Lord can help me do those and get through. And it goes back to also that strengthening of the inner man and the strengthening of our faith to continue to be faithful unto him. And then the 12th thing that we're going to look at this morning, it says, this is Ephesians 6, verse 10, and this is God's strength is an empowering strength. And it says, "Finally, brethren," and I use this one last for a reason, because as Paul was writing this letter, he wrote lots of things to them that they needed to be doing, they needed to know. But he said that there was one last thing that he wanted them to know about being strong in the Lord. And he simply said this, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might." One of the things about this strength that God gives us, this having faith in God so he can help us and provide his power and strength for us, it is a choice. We don't have to. That's what Paul is saying. It is a choice. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Make the choice to be like that eagle that is soaring, to tap into the power of God. Sometimes we make the choice not to. We make the choice to try to do things on our own. We make the choice to be weary, to worry about things. We can make the choice to be strong in the Lord. And it goes on there, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All the things that God would like to help us, he is a ready resource to help us. And then the 11th verse, it goes on when it says, finally, brethren, make a choice, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Then verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The point of verse 11 is that God gives us the tools to make the right choice. He gives us the tools to be strong in the Lord. If I was going to go fight, as in the Roman times when they would do that with armor and everything, it would be foolish for me not to take armor and go out to battle, right? Because an arrow, an axe, something is going to harm me. It's like if I do a job, if I'm going to dig a hole, what am I going to use? What tool would work best? Would I go to the kitchen and get a spoon? It would take a while to do it, right? Would I go get a stick? Could I dig a hole with a spoon? Yes. Could I dig a hole with a stick? Yes. Would it work better if I had the right tool? What if I had a shovel? What if I had a pickaxe? What if I had the right tool? Well, to be strong in the Lord, God has given us some tools that will help us use his strength. One of them we've already talked about, faith, right? And I'm not going to go over the whole armor of God. That's a whole sermon in of itself. But the thing that I want us to get that, finally, brethren, it is a choice whether or not we tap into the resources of God. And not only do we say, okay, Lord, here I am, I'm waiting patiently, give me your strength, there are some things that we need to pick up and put on. Put on the whole armor of God. There's some tools. One of those tools, we could go through it, but we won't. But the Word of God, our faith. There's so many things that we have that God has given us to make this service, this obedience, this commitment to God easier if we'll do it the way he has laid it out. My strength, we can be renewed in his strength. Be strong in the Lord. Make that choice and use the tools available to us as children of God. And then in closing, I want to use... go to 2 Timothy. I'll just read it. It's okay. I'll just read it. 2 Timothy 4:16, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 9:10. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but it's not on the screen, but you can listen to it. 2 Timothy 4:16. Paul, this is Paul talking about a difficulty that came up in his life. At my first answer, no man stood with me. So there was an issue going on, and Paul was left all alone. And he says here in verse 16, but all men forsook me. And he goes on and he says, and I pray that God, I prayed God that it may not be laid to their charge. Lord, they forsook me, but don't hold them accountable for that. And that's big of Paul. But the thing I want you to note. Is Paul was all alone by himself. And that can be really taxing and really difficult when we're facing a big challenge and there's nobody to share that burden with. And look at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. There are lots of times that even though someone may like to stand with us, sometimes we just have to face things by ourselves. And it's not always easy. And I like this verse. And he said, notwithstanding, when I find myself alone, I'm not alone. That's the point of this verse, that we're never alone. There are times I feel like I've stood alone, but I haven't. The Lord's with me. And as Elijah came and sat there by the riverside, and he said the Lord, I'm the only one, I'm doing it all by myself. And God said, no, there's a whole lot more of you, you just don't see them. But even when we are alone, the Lord is with us. And I like the way it words it there. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He was able to get through it. And then another crisis, difficulty that Paul came across is in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. And there are some other verses that go with this story, but we'll just focus on these. And there was this issue, he calls it a thorn in the flesh. Something about his physical body that wouldn't do what he wanted it to do so he could serve the Lord. He said, this is a hindrance. And he said, I prayed three times that the Lord get rid of this. And he said, Lord, if you will get rid of this, I can do so much more. Lord, I can be better, be more effective. And the Apostle Paul, we know in his ministry, was very effective, right? He was very good at lots of things. And as he prayed three times, he got an answer. And it's kind of interesting. If you have a red letter Bible, some of the newer ones especially, will put this text in red, that his Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient. For my strength, right, is made perfect in weakness. We don't like to show our weakness. We want to do it ourselves. One of the things that little kids will say, I'll do it myself, right? We're like that in our relationship to God. Lord, just let me do it myself. But we don't have what it takes. We need his help. My grace is sufficient. I will help you if you'll just let me. And sometimes, and what Paul's saying, that when we're weak, we then have to count on the strength, the power, the might of God. So he goes on here and he says, when he hears this answer, my grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect or complete. When you are weak, then you have to count on me. And then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. Lord, make me weaker so I can be stronger in you, is what he's saying, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the fact that I have weaknesses, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, in those things that show my weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Not his strength, but I'm strong. Look at just before verse 10, the end of verse 9. The power of Christ may rest upon me. I am weak, but your power shows the strength. I don't like my weaknesses, but I like the fact that the Lord will help me overcome those in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. The pianist and song leader will come forward. How are you doing in getting out of the Lord's way so you can tap into his strength and become a mighty witness and the child of God that he would like for us to be? What page you have for us?